On May 13, 2009, the Maine Legislature's Marine Resources Committee heard from Jeffrey Smith of the Ocean Conservancy and Robin Alden of Penobscot East about a proposal for permit banking, which will allow the Ocean Conservancy to purchase groundfish permits and resell them to Maine fishermen who follow certain conservation practices in their ground fishing.
Permit banking as it pertains to ground fishing and ground fish management. I don't know if the committee is entirely aware of the management efforts that are undertaken now at the, primarily at the federal level through the National Marine Fisheries, New England Fisheries Management Council, and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Council. But they are primarily centered around a thing called Days at Sea, which tell you what days your boat is able to go out and fish. It is a program that has been in place for some time with startlingly terrible results. And we have an opportunity here for alternative way of getting people into the fishery. And so we have Robin Alden of Penobscot East Resource Center and
Jeffrey Smith, yes,
of the Nature Conservancy. So I'm going to turn it over to you for the presentation to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Damon, Representative Piercy, and the rest of the members of the committee. As I just said, my name is Jeffrey Smith, and I'm the Marine Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in Brunswick, Maine. And I first want to thank you for taking the time to give us an opportunity to talk to you about this project today. I know you're busy. I know this isn't about pending legislation, but it's a project that we're very excited about and that we hope will be able to help restore depleted groundfish populations along the coastal shelf in Maine and help the Maine fishing communities that depend on them. The Nature Conservancy, the Island Institute, the Penobscot East Resource Center, and the Mid-Coast Fishermen's Association out of Port Clyde have been working for over a year now on a project called Groundfish Permit Banking. And in a nutshell, this project involves buying federal groundfish permits and making the access associated with those permits available to fishermen who are willing to work with us on collaborative research projects that would cover things like improving selectivity of gear, reducing impacts on bottom habitat, and also improving our understanding of the distribution and abundance of fish along the Maine coastal shelf. Before I get too far involved in that and the details of the project, though, I did want to give you a little bit of background, as Senator Damon mentioned, on the current state of play in the groundfish fishery in New England. As members of this committee, I think you're all aware that the New England groundfish fishery is at a crossroads these days. A number of the groundfish species that once supported a vibrant fishery along the coast of Maine are now severely depleted. And at the same time, we have more and more fishermen who are struggling to get by as the regulations get tighter and tighter on them. According to the most recent stock assessment, about half of the groundfish stocks, or over half of the groundfish stocks in the Gulf of Maine and on George's Bank are overfished, meaning their population sizes are well below healthy, sustainable levels and historic levels. And as Robin will point out in her comments, this depletion is particularly severe along the Maine coastal shelf, where populations of cod and winter flounder and other species are at very low levels. In response to this situation, there's been a number of federal regulations over the years designed to try and rebuild these species. But those regulations have had a crippling effect on the groundfish industry here in Maine. If we look back to the early 1990s, fishermen were allowed to go and fish when they wanted to. There was really no limits on the number of days at sea that they could go fish other than making own smart business decisions and safety decisions. But in the mid-1990s, the council implemented something called limited access, which means you have to have one of these limited numbers of permits to go fishing for groundfish in the federal fishery, and that there's a limit on the number of days that you can go do that. That number was 88 days back in the mid-1990s. It was cut to 48 days in 2004, and according to the regulations that just went in place on May 1st, that number's down to less than 40 days for a typical fisherman. And I think that this combination of a lack of fish and reduced fishing opportunities has resulted in more and more fishermen in Maine either moving their businesses out of state or selling their businesses altogether. In 1990, we had about 350 active ground fish boats fishing out of Maine. In 2007, that number was down to 70. During that same time period, our landings of ground fish in the Gulf in the state of Maine dropped from about 45 million pounds in 91 to about 10 million in 2007. And so it's against this backdrop that the Nature Conservancy began looking at a way to try and help this improve this situation facing the ground fish in the Gulf of Maine and the fishermen who depend on them. And after numerous conversations with fishermen, with managers, and with our partners, we decided that we thought we could play a constructive role in this situation by designing a project that really tried to achieve three fundamental goals. And the first one is trying to support a transition to more sustainable fishing. The second is to encourage collaborative research with fishermen by assuming some of the cost of doing that research. And the third, and perhaps most importantly to many, is to help to try and secure access to the fishery for Maine fishing communities in the future. It may be a little surprising for folks to hear of the Nature Conservancy working in marine conservation programs, but we've actually got about 100 marine-related programs going on around the globe, including some here in the States that are dealing with marine resource management. And we're pretty confident this project is going to work to meet these goals and that it's also consistent with our organizational strengths, which focus on collaborative efforts, non-confrontational initiatives, and using market-based solutions to try and solve problems that are both ecological and socioeconomic in nature. So in the most basic terms, what this project will entail is the following. We're going to purchase some federal groundfish permits on the open market. We're going to lease the days at sea or the catch history associated with those permits to fishermen who are willing to work with us on the research program that I had mentioned earlier. We're going to use the information that we get through the research to try and support this transition to more sustainable fishing practices along the coastal shelf in Maine and throughout the Gulf of Maine. And we're going to ensure that at least some groundfish permits remain in the state of Maine for the long term, for the day when the groundfish populations recover. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of technical details that go into making a system like this work. And I'm not going to go into the details of those now because I'd like to give Robin a chance to share her perspectives on this. So I just want to close by thanking you again for giving us the opportunity to have some time with you to discuss this today. And to let you know, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have once Robin is done, either today here up at the mic or in writing. So thank you for your time, and I'm going to turn it over to Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I would interrupt the presentation a little bit, I think, if there are questions on your portion of it.
Sure.
Right now. Any members have questions? Yes, Representative Weaver.
You mentioned cod and, of course, flounder. What are other ground fish?
Cod, haddock, pollock, four or five different species of flounder, winter flounder, witch flounder, yellowtail flounder, plaice, ocean pout, cusk.
Okay, I don't think I'll repeat them all. And the reason they're called ground fish is because draggers fish farm, is that why they're called ground fish?
They're called ground fish because they make their living down on the ocean bottom, so they feed down on the ocean bottom. They spend the majority of their time down on the ocean floor, so I think that's why they're called ground fish, but they are targeted by trawls, by gill nets, and by hooks and lines.
Okay, thank you.
Because sometimes, the representative just asked if they're bottom feeders, and primarily they spend most of their life down at the lower depths of the water column. Sometimes they're referred to, I believe, as demersal finfish. And then in the water column above them and all the way up to the surface, there are other fish that live in that area. They're referred to as pelagic, and those would be herring and mackerel and maybe swordfish and some others.
I think I grew up just knowing them as catfish and carp.
Probably you did. And you're probably noodling for them, weren't you? Thanks for that, Mike and Robin.
Thank you, Senator Damon and Representative Percy and committee. I really appreciate it at the end of the session like this. This is wonderful. I'm here to give a specific for the general that Jeff gave you, and to give you an admission, which is that this is an opportunity that we're seizing now. We're about 10 years late. We should have been doing this, and I'm kicking myself all the time, but we're doing it, and that's why we wanted to come and tell you, because in the future, we will need your support of the concept. We need you to understand it, and who knows, if we are successful, it might even be something that had federal or state dollars put to it. I'm Robin Alden. I'm the executive director of Penobscot East Resource Center, which is a nonprofit organization in Stonington dedicated to securing a future for fishing communities in eastern Maine. And so we work primarily from the Penobscot Bay Islands east to Canada, and are doing a number of different things. This is probably the most fundamentally important thing we're doing, because it is a vehicle to restore the diversity to the communities in that area. Fishing communities in eastern Maine can be a metaphor for what's happened to the whole state. And so when I talk about eastern Maine, you should understand this is not parochial. This is just talking a specific. In the area I'm talking about, two counties, Hancock and Washington County, a little bit of Knox. Hancock and Washington County are the two most fishery-dependent counties on the East Coast. Those counties have about 3,000 commercial fishermen in it, and there are only 20 federal groundfish permits left in that area. And those permits have, on average, 4 days at sea left. So there are about 80 days of ground fishing allowed to those 3,000 fishermen in a year. And most of those permits have virtually no catch history on them, so that when we make the transition eventually to quotas instead of days at sea, there will be very little share left going to those people. This is a situation which is not just important because it's not fair that we don't have groundfish, or because our groundfish is differentially depleted, which it is. It's worse, in worse shape in eastern Gulf of Maine than it is off of Saco and the North Shore of Massachusetts and New Hampshire. But it is important because the only way you can maintain a fishing community in eastern Maine over decades is if you have a mix of fisheries. And we are seeing this right now this summer. We saw it last October with the price of lobster falling. Two counties I'm talking about, the three zones A, B, and C, are 90% dependent for their fisheries revenue on lobster. 90%. And the two zones in the Penobscot Bay, Frenchman's Bay area, well over 90% dependent. So this is a critical matter to restore diversity, and that's what we're doing. So we've been working for many years with the people who are still interested in ground fishing. Most of them are now old enough that they'll never go ground fishing again. They're very interested in their grandsons or their kids or somebody in their community going ground fishing. So we have a group of people with federal rights who want to work with us in the future, and we have decided we are going to buy additional permits. Penobscot East Resource Center is going to team up with the Nature Conservancy and do this. Our vision is to restore a hook fishery to that area that is a part-time fishery, so that people who lobster and scallop and quahog and rockweed and whatever else, wrinkle, clam, can go ground fishing in the right season, and that will be part of a diversified portfolio. Our initial idea is to buy one permit. We're very close to doing that, and we will take the rights on that permit and use it for the first couple of years to do what's called a sentinel fishery, which is, let's go see if there's any fish out there. We think there isn't. We are trying to build a case for area management in eastern Maine and build a constituency that thinks it is possible once again not only to go catch fish but to bring it ashore, have it kept cold, and get it to local markets. And we want to pilot this. We'll work with the Department of Marine Resources and the University of Maine to collect the data about every single fish that's caught during this experiment, and that will feed into the federal assessment and hopefully build the case. So this is, for many years when eastern Maine was saying, or all of Maine was saying, we're losing our rights, people in out-of-state said, well, just buy your way back in. Well, we finally faced the music and are doing that, and we're bringing private dollars to doing that, and we hope to bank them in perpetuity for these communities. So thank you for your interest in hearing about this, and we'd love to answer questions.
What is the cost of a permit?
They run, Jeff can talk about this too, but they run basically from about 125 to millions, or over a million.
125,000 to in excess of $1 million.
The permit that we're looking at is in the $130,000 to $150,000 range.
These permits are issued by the federal government.
Correct.
For people to be able to access the ground fishery. Are they purchased from the federal government when they're issued?
They're purchased from an individual.
When they're originally issued, they're not.
No,
when they were originally issued, you signed up to get one. But in 1990s, when we went from open access to limited access,
then they became
there was
valuable.
1,300 or 1,500 or so of them then. There's no new ones being written,
right.
And the number is going down. And that's why when we see permits being sold out of the state of Maine, we know that there's no new ones that are going to be written, and that's loss of access for Maine, and we want to try and keep them here.
And so this, I can't refer to it as a license, this permit.
Please don't.
Thank you. That allows one to access the common resource being the groundfish. If you were lucky enough to have applied for one and been issued one back in the beginning, and had held on to it, it now is collateral, it now is property, it's now real property, it has a value, quite a value. And that value now is being bought and sold and exchanged in that limited pool of people who are accessed, and you want to, through your efforts, buy into that pool so that you can allow fishermen who don't have that access to use that permit. Whether it's to do the Sentinel fishery or whether it's to do collaborative research, whether it's to gain information.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yes.
Could I make draw a distinction and explain why Maine is a little late getting into this? Ports where there is still fish have been buying permits for a while in order to take the rights off of that permit to use for people who already have permits but just need more days at sea.
More days, yeah.
The situation that's unique in eastern Maine is we have very few people relative to the number of fishermen who have permits. But if we buy a permit, in the past we've been concerned that if we buy a permit we might not be able to use it if we don't have any fish. And so it's been a different equation. Our interest is in having lots of permits so that we can have lots of individuals fishing small amounts. Most of the rest of New England is headed toward having fewer permits with lots of rights on them so that it's a different model.
The days at sea are greater on a permit. Is that correct? If you add on those rights.
And I just wanted to add one other quick point on the collaborative research side, because people may be wondering, well, what do you need a permit to do research for? And as I had mentioned before, you know, the number of days at sea that an individual fisherman has gone from 88 to 48 to 40. It keeps going down. Under the current rules right now, if you want to test a new trawl design that may be more selective and let the little fish out and keep the big one, or you want to test a design that has the gear fishing lighter on the bottom so you're not impacting the habitat, if you're going to kill a ground fish, you need to use one of your days at sea to do it. And so when fishermen only have 40 days to make a living, they're not as inclined to use one of those valuable days at sea to go do a research project. And so by having those days at sea set aside to support that research, we're assuming some of the economic costs that the fisherman would have. We make the day at sea available for him to go do the research, and we get rid of that barrier. And we think that given the state of play with the status of the stocks right now, being able to fish more selectively, more cleanly, letting the little ones out, helping the habitat recover, that's what's going to lead to a recovery on the coastal shelf. We need to do research to do that, and we need days at sea to support the research. So.
Are the results of that research going to be shared?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me see. Representative Weaver and then Senator Rector.
Two questions. How large is your area? How large area are you going to get in size?
Could you? I'm not sure what area, when you're asking how large the area
you
would be.
You said you were going to buy an area to run about $125,000 to $130,000.
It's a permit for a boat.
It's just a boat. Okay,
yeah,
you said
that
area.
Doesn't have any specific area.
A, B, and C are the areas, just like our lobster.
Yeah.
Okay, then. There was one other question. Boy, my mind's going too. We've been here too long. When I think of it, Senator, may I speak again?
Absolutely can.
I was thinking about the carp and the cat.
Senator,
you don't need a permit to noodle for cod.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator,
in the long, long term, if you're buying these permits and, in fact, fisheries come back and you're successful in your experiments, there might be an opportunity, in fact, to be able to lease these permits and recover some of the money that you've spent and buy more, presumably, or something. So it might become almost self-sustaining. Is that part of the model you're thinking of if you're, you know, in an ideal and successful world? That's question one. And the other is, you made brief reference to working with the Port Clyde fishermen. That's in my district. I've worked with them as well, and we're lucky to have such forward-thinking ground fishermen, I think, and I just didn't know if you could tell me a little more about what you're doing there.
Well, first, Glenn Libby sends his apologies for not being here. We had him on our list, and you may or may not know, but his wife had to go to physical therapy for a broken arm today, and she couldn't drive with one arm, so Glenn drove her to the doctor. So he picked his priorities well on that one, I think. But Glenn's been very actively involved. We are, with the other permit that the Conservancy is buying in partnership with the Island Institute, we will be working with Glenn and Gary and some other folks to continue a research project that they did last year, modifying their trawl. I mean, this is an idea that the fishermen came up with. Let's change the way the nest design. Let's let those small flat fish out so they can reproduce and keep the big ones. So we're working very closely with them on that research project. And Glenn's a big supporter of this, and he does send his apologies for not being able to join us. As far as the fishery rebounding and having these permits and having extra revenue, I mean, it's a problem we'd love to have. I don't think we'll have to deal with it tomorrow, but it's certainly something that we've been thinking about. And, you know, from the Nature Conservancy's perspective, our interest is not to own these permits forever. We hope that we can create community permit banks up and down the coast or create a statewide permit bank that maybe runs through DMR or something, turn the permits over to them for the long term, and we're just trying to get this idea up and running, and that's why we're involved right now.
Other questions?
I thought of a question.
You did, yes.
How do you raise your money? I guess that's the next question.
Mm-hmm. I'll answer quickly and let Robin answer. We have private donors within the state of Maine who want to see a ground fish fishery in the Maine in the future. We don't want to see a situation where we go through the pain and the suffering of rebuilding these ground fish populations and Maine fishermen not having an opportunity to access them. So right now we are talking to private donors who want to do something to help the coastal shelf and the fishermen who depend on it.
And that is what we're doing also. These are far-sighted people who say this would be crazy if the fish came back and we couldn't catch them. The other thing is there actually are some towns that are not in now but are thinking about this, because this is really an important thing for these communities.
Well, I'm sure this whole committee applauds your efforts, because anything like this is just great, and thank you for doing it.
Thanks for letting us know. There isn't anything that we can do legislatively at this point, or is there? No. This is.
You have extra money for it.
No, I don't believe that's
no,
the case.
No, but I didn't think so.
I'll tell you that if you can demonstrate success with this, and we can start to put some vitality back into our near-shore fishing fleet, I think that it would be a great model and a great opportunity to try to make some investments from the state level whenever, or the federal level whenever we can, into that same thing. So I wish you very well.
Yeah, our hope is to prove the concept in this pilot project, and if it proves to be successful like we hope it will, we would hope sometime in the future there would be an opportunity for public dollars, whether it's from the state or the feds or somewhere else. But
yep.
We've got to go out and make sure it works first before we start asking.
Thank you.
Thank you.